Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, that she may bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh." And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare him a daughter and called her name Dinah, or Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee." And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." And he said, "Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it." And he said unto him, "Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also?" And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep shall be counted stolen with me." And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." And he removed that day the goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Laban. betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pilled white stripes in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-straked and speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, that he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Any puzzlements? Any looks of puzzlements on your face? This is difficult. It's a very interesting passage. First of all, let's start with the internal strife in the house because of the multiple wives and handmaids that Jacob had taken to wife. Remember that although God had a residue of the Spirit, he made one wife for one man. And even among the patriarchs, this engenders confusion and strife and difficulty. It was never God's design, and this represents a weakness in the ancient world. So, we see all of the strife and that which surrounds. But what's interesting here is it looks like there has been a change in the attitude and the mindset of Jacob's household. Leah is having children, and at every particular turn when she names her child, there is something of God in the name. She is giving praise to God. She is thankful to him, and so on. Here now, we have a change in that method, because now we have Rachel seems very jealous, very much put to the worst because the Lord has withheld her from bearing. And so she comes to Jacob, puts her fist down and says, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob says, "Are you kidding? I can't do that. Am I God that I could stand in his place and open and close the womb?" And it says that Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Perhaps this is the culmination of a long time of hearing these kinds of complaints, this difficulty. But notice that Jacob has much strife in his house pertaining to the difficulties of having more than one wife. And so then Rachel offers up her handmaid, their children born. I hope you noticed that all of the names that are given by Rachel to these children have nothing to do with God and everything to do with Rachel. Then we see that Leah saw that she had left off bearing, so she does the same thing. She offers her handmaid, and there are other names that are given to other sons that are all, once again, all about the estate in the house and the jealousy and the strife. There has been a change in Jacob's house, and we ought to see it not only in this beginning of the chapter with Rachel's complaint, but in the names of the children that follow. Everyone seems now to be out for themselves. Seems that there was at one time perhaps a godliness among Leah or within her, but now that seems to have been overthrown, or at least perhaps it now pales or shadows in comparison to the strife that is now taking place in the family. And of course, what we want to do, brothers and sisters, we want to protect our homes from strife. The Proverbs speak much about this, and we've talked about it before. We'll not belabor it here, but our homes are to be places of peace and security and safety where we might raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, where we might be kind to one another and model that little Christian society there, model in that little Christian society the great and wider Christian society. So our homes then ought to be places of peace. Remember what Solomon says, only by pride cometh contention. So we have Jacob's house then full of pride. All right, so then we have this section about the mandrakes. We say, oh, well, this proves that the Bible isn't true because there's these really quaint and old-timey means. Can I say that that is the arrogance of the modern? Quaint and old-timey means, really? What will they be saying about us should the Lord tarry for 1,000 years? Quaint and old-timey means. Penicillin? Really? Pesticides? Really? And we could go on and on and on about what our ancestors will call quaint and old-timey means that they simply know in their age are not effective. We used to think that bloodletting would reduce a fever, and that was the prime treatment. Of course, for some folks, it reduced their fever to room temperature, didn't it? Yeah, that's right. Means are means. And we ought never to trust in means, even in godly means, even in lawful means. And so this section about the mandrakes simply serves to point up the greater strife that is undertaken in Jacob's house. And the use of the mandrakes as means simply shows us that people are willing to go to great lengths and use all kinds of different means in the pursuit of their own interests. That's what we see here. All right, so then we move on from that and those children that are born to Rachel's firstborn son. And she names him Yosef, which means what? Increase, adding. You remember the old Puritan, his name was Increase Mather. You remember that? That's the English version of Joseph. Increase. Rachel's firstborn son. And Joseph looks upon Rachel's firstborn son, Joseph. And the narrative tells us that when Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. The reason is that Jacob now believes that he has his heir, his covenant successor. Jacob is still manifesting his faith in the covenant of God, the promises of God. He considered all along Rachel to be his true wife, the wife of his love, the one that he came out to get. And so when she has her firstborn son, he says, now it's time to return. He's a covenant man. And so he then begins the plan with Laban to head home. He must be able to provide for his house. Jacob has been serving under Laban, and Laban has changed his wages approximately, I don't know how many times by this time, but at the end of this process, in the next chapter, we'll see that it was 10 times over the course of the 20 years. And the implication is that every time it was less and not more. The implication is that while Jacob came to town thinking he was pretty sharp, pretty much a trickster, that he really met the master and had been bested by Laban all those years. And yet, notice that Jacob pursues in faith. It's time to go home. He needs to provide for his own house. And so what does he do? He devises a plan with Laban. Laban says, I would that it should be according to all that thou dost say. Now, this doesn't make any sense to us, this plan here, except we understand that among the sheep, there was normally white or white-ish, and among the goats, normally, if you look over the vast majority of the cattle that lived in those days, that they were mostly solid colored, darkish among the goats and whitish among the sheep. And that's what Laban's flocks looked like. They looked like white sheep and dark goats. And then there were a few of those that were considered lesser that were spotted and speckled and so on. And so Jacob says, I'll go through your herd today, and here's what you'll give me for my wages. Laban is trying to make a deal with him. Please don't leave. Tell me what you want to be paid, and I'll pay you that. And so Jacob says, here's what you'll pay me. I'll go through and take all the substandard sheep, and they will be mine. And if you find any among mine that are white sheep or lightish colored sheep or dark colored goats, then they will be counted as stolen among me. I won't keep any of yours. I'll take that which pertains to me that we agree on, and I'll put 3 days of separation between our two herds. I'll send my sons, and they'll go care for my sheep over here 3 days away, and I'll stay here, and I'll care personally for your sheep. And then when any are born that are speckled or spotted or striped, they will be mine. But you're starting with a pure herd here of white sheep, whitest sheep, and brown goats. And Laban says, that's a good plan. I'll give you the few little speckled ones. You go and have fun over there, and you take care of my great big herd here. And Jacob says, okay. And then Jacob does something. Again, we say quaint little means, right? Quaint little means. So when the flocks come to water, Jacob puts these striped posts or striped pillars so that they are mating, conceiving, before the pillars, before those pilled, striped posts. And Jacob believed that under God's good providence, under God's good hand, that he would make use of those means and cause the sheep to be born spotted, striped, ring-striped. We say, oh, that can't be true. Why not? Why can't it be true? Because we know too much for it to be true today? Because God can't use means like that? To ask those questions really is to answer them. Of course God can use means like that. And at the end, we'll find Jacob saying to his wives, God has taken all your father's sheep and given them to me. Notice, he doesn't say, oh, it was my great plan and the great means that I used. Instead, remember that God can use means like medicine when you go to the doctor to make you well. Or he cannot. Right? Two men go to the doctor, same presentation, same age, same apparent disease. The doctor treats them with the same medicine. One is healed and one is not. Why? Because we don't trust in means. We trust in God making use of means. These means here, they seem to us quaint and ineffective. I don't think we'd be caught doing that kind of a thing. And yet, God blessed them. And God took all of Laban's sheep and made them Jacob's. And so that really, it says, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants, camels and asses. The other thing that Jacob did is something that people do often today. So there is a connection between some means that Jacob used and means that are used today. And that is that when he put the rods in front of the sheep and the goats for their conception, that he made sure that when the rods weren't there, it was only the weakest of the cattle. In other words, he took the strongest and caused them to conceive in the presence of the rods. And God, for his part, blessed Jacob. Because what he's doing is he is readying Jacob to head back to the land of promise and to receive his inheritance. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 30. Let's